last week I talked about how we as individuals and as a congregation realize we're going to break covenant with each other. We're going to break our promises. And in breaking covenant, it doesn't mean we break relationships. The true faith formation and spiritual development and growth happens when we do the work of recognizing, reflecting, and re-engaging. This is true with covenants in our church, in our personal lives, and in our larger world. So let's expand for a moment. Let's just take a moment and expand a covenant, the covenant behind our walls. We know we have a congregational covenant, and a covenant is just a fancy word for promise. So we have a promise of how we're going to be together. But what are other ways we promise in our life? What are some of the ways we promise in our personal lives? What are promises we make in our personal lives? Marriage, our vows.
Purchasing on credit.
Purchasing on credit. Financial.
Mm-hmm. Work.
Work.
Signing contracts.
Signing contracts.
Not spending our money on companies that spoil the earth.
So that's a promise to the larger community, right? Mm-hmm.
Our children and our pets.
Our children and our pets, to take care of them, to protect them. What about as citizens of a country?
To vote.
To
drive on the right side of the road.
To drive on the right side of the road. Some of these are lifted up by legal requirements, right? To vote, to stand up for, in our country, to stand up for people's rights, to speak out. To have a legal system.
Commitments we make to perform certain duties for nonprofit groups.
So our volunteer work.
Volunteer.
Our volunteer work. I heard someone over here.
Protest.
Mm-hmm. What about to our earth? As beings of the earth. And you talked a little bit about this, Todd. About making sure that we spend our money responsibly.
We vote with our money.
And we vote with our money.
And we're the voice, too, for the air and the earth and things, the animals and plants.
So we speak up for those voices in nature that aren't there. Or that can't speak directly to us, right?
Cleaning
we make sure environments, yes?
Cleaning up trash that people dump in gullies, and when I'm hiking, always picking up litter.
Mm-hmm. So cleaning up,
yeah.
Our environment.
Everywhere I go.
And how we use our resources.
Right. Reducing single-use plastics.
Reducing our use of plastics. So all of these are promises that we make all the time. We make promises continuously throughout our life. We're purposely talking about this year because we've just created a congregational covenant. But all of these things that we're talking about apply outside these walls as well. So one of the most difficult aspects of breaking covenant is recognizing our own part and making that break and breaking that promise. We get caught up in being righteous and blaming. Oh boy, did Bruce blame God? We get caught up in being defensive. It's not fair. We get passive aggressive. All of those emotions help keep us safe from being vulnerable. They help us protect the image we have of ourselves and protect our weaknesses. And it feels good to rant, doesn't it? Oh, when you're wronged, oh, it feels good to rant like Bruce did, doesn't it? It's not my fault. Why should I own this? But then we rant, and we get to the end of that rant, and sometimes we realize, oh, wait a minute, I might have had a part in what happened. And we have a choice. We can decide whether we want to recognize and reflect on our own part in that work and what we did and our actions and our responses, and try to find ways to re-engage and to make amends, or we can continue to hold that grudge and keep that broken relationship. We have a choice in that. I want to be sure, because we live in a world where there's abuse and oppression, I want to make sure that we recognize these are not the relationships I'm talking about right now. In those relationships, it's very healthy and life-saving to break the covenant. And I support that fully, and if anybody feels themselves in that type of relationship, please know that I'm here and my door is open if you need support. Owning our part in relationships without abuse or oppression is vital for us to create health in our relationships, right? It builds our trust, it builds our integrity, it builds the foundation of where we are in relationship together. And as I said last week, when covenant is broken, we often feel it's the other person's job to fix it, right? They need to do the work. But healthy relationship requires us to understand we all have work to do in that broken covenant. As a parent, one of the things that I've charged myself with as a life skill that I want to impart to my children is the ability to own their own choices, their own responses, their own feelings, own their own part. Now, it's just as important for them to learn how to clean the house, take out the trash, do their laundry, but this is at the top of the list for me. Owning your own part. And when I hold that up as a standard, as a parent, I feel I have to model it for them, right? I can't just say, you gotta own it, and I just walk away and leave all my mistakes laying around, right? They've given me plenty of opportunities to own my part. Plenty. And I used to think parenting was the hardest place to own my part until I became a minister. Not only did that profession add its own level of accountability, it also added layers of accountability to my family. And that's what we're talking about, right? Accountability and responsibility. How we step into what we do. How we create relationships. I've made mistakes. And in this past December, I made a bunch of them. I was dealing with the holidays, an increase in family activities, planning worship and classes, illness within my family, administrative church tasks, which would all be fine and typical of my December month. However, this December, there was an added layer, and that's the grief from my dad's death in October. And the theme of that grief in the month of December was anger. This meant I got triggered a lot. That fast. And as the month wore on, my resources got depleted, which resulted in my anger showing up in all kinds of interactions. And when we're in the midst of that, when I'm in the midst of that, I have no clue, right? No clue that, oh, wait a minute, I just got angry with somebody until you stepped away and you go, oh, wait a minute, I just got angry and I need to do something about that. And I'd like to say that I recognized pretty quickly. I'd like to say that I didn't go to that place of being defensive or blaming or righteous, but in reality, I totally went there. Totally went there. And it felt good to be there. To wallow in it, to give somebody else the responsibility to own it. And then I woke up and realized I'm the minister. And I need to own my own part in my actions and in my responses and in my choices. And it's humble and vulnerable to own your own part. It forces us to acknowledge our imperfections. It puts us in a place where rejection is possible. It gives others power over our weaknesses. Why in the world would we want to do this? Why? But by taking a thorough self-inventory of our actions, responses, and choices and owning them in our relationship with another, the potential for spiritual growth and faith formation is deep, is truly personal, and provides an opportunity for growth that you normally wouldn't have. We no longer have the wall of excuses to protect us or the fire of righteousness to keep us warm. Instead, we are there with our soul bared, waiting to know if we will be forgiven or rejected. We put the trust of relationship in another's hands, and we also get the opportunity to learn more about ourselves and what type of person we want to be. And once I was able to recognize what was going on by talking to my spiritual director, I was able to reflect on what I needed to own and who I needed to re-engage. I have to own not taking care of myself. I have to own not holding my boundaries. I have to own that I was angry. I have to own I caused harm. I have to own that the compassion and acceptance I was preaching about was not showing up in my actions. I have to own I was still hurting from my dad's death and not dealing with it. I have to own all of the things I thought I knew about grief was nothing compared to being in the midst of it. And I have to own failing my own agenda of meeting each person with love. Like I said, owning our mistakes makes us humble and vulnerable. It gives others power over our weaknesses. It leaves our soul bared for all to see, and it makes us acknowledge our imperfections. When we have realized what it is for us to own, we re-engage with the people where covenant was broken. We offer an apology. I'm sorry. Which I really think has to be the words, I'm sorry. Not I apologize, or just to jump into the list of all the things that you own. To say, I'm sorry. And then pausing for that person to actually hear you say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for not taking care of myself, for not acknowledging my anger, for not holding my boundaries, for not being compassionate and accepting and loving, for causing harm, for not dealing with my grief, and for not realizing the depth of my grief. I'm sorry. If I'm making you uncomfortable right now, I'm sorry. Shake it off. Why am I doing this? Because it's the only way I know how to show you and model for you and model for my kids how to own our own part. I could have come up with all kinds of flowery words, all kinds of phrases and stories, but that wouldn't have gotten to the heart of what this means. I lost my place.
I forgive you.
I know that there are places where I need to go and make amends, and I've made appointments with those people that I know. But I don't know, I'm not all-knowing, so I don't know where this anger hit this past month. And that's why I'm also standing in front of you. Now, I know our worship team and anybody that has taken the Shared the Pulpit class are going, what are you doing? You're not supposed to be bleeding all over the congregation, that's what we call it. You're not supposed to be putting your heart out there and having them take care of you. And this is where the other part of owning our own part comes in. Because the responsibility isn't on you. I've owned it. The other part of owning it is saying what I'm going to do differently. Right? And if we don't own what we're going to do differently, we just stay in that loop. Right? We just stay in it. So what do I plan to do differently? Take time for my grief and the emotions it entails. To work on the anger with my spiritual director. To get better rest. And this one I'm going to need help with you from you. To take time off and hold the boundaries of that time as sacred. To work towards engaging my spiritual practices again. To remind myself to take a deep breath and ground myself before responding, especially if I am triggered. And most importantly, I have to admit to you all, I'm not at the top of my game. I'm not right now. And ask for your grace in the mistakes that I'm making. And I will continue to make, even when I'm at the top of my game. Shake it off. And if you think that's hard, the next part's even harder in this whole step. Once you own your part, you have to let it go. You have to let it go. We have to be okay with burying our soul and listing where we've fallen short and put that trust in someone else's hands. And this is where it's going to get tricky because we can get lured back into that self-righteous, okay, I did it, now you need to do it. Right? So easily. We can get lured back into that. But if we're just in it to get the other person to list all the places where they need to own, then we're selling ourselves short of that spiritual growth and that faith formation. Because this part of the process is not for yours to own. You have to be able to sit with whatever response you get. There's no buts. There's no, and what about you? There's no, and this person still needs to. None of that. Why is this important right now? Why is it as important for us to be talking about this? Because we have examples all throughout our world right now. Of world leaders, religious leaders, actors, doctors, lawyers, judges, teachers, name it, across professions, across society, of people not owning their own actions. I was going to say something else, but I caught myself. Got to remember where I am. Owning their own choices and actions and feelings and responses, right? We have it all over the place. We could sit here hours upon hours watching how people have passed the buck on their own actions, responses, and feelings. If we go back to our understanding that this space right here that we create every Sunday is our experimental lab for creating beloved community, we go back to that and realize that we're the co-creators of that beloved community, practicing owning our own part is important to that. It's important. Because I think if we all did that, if people started doing that, we could transform this world in amazing ways. So if we want to live into the promises we make to each other in our congregational covenant, then we have to recognize when we have gossiped, made judgments, been flippant, lied, used passive-aggressive means, and when we've hurt each other, and own our part in that. If we want to live into the promises we make to our friends and our partners and our family, then we have to recognize when we have yelled, hurt, ignored, or blamed another person for our actions and feelings. If we want to live into the promises we make to our planet and the interconnected web of life we live in, then we have to recognize when we have been irresponsible, neglectful, harmful, and destructive to other beings and natural resources of the earth. If we want to live into the promises we make to our fellow citizens in our country and in our world, then we have to recognize when we have dismissed, used, diminished, and judged another person's rights or the ownership of their body. So a story. Once upon a time, a queen sat on her balcony eating rice cakes and honey. And her chief advisor sat with her. And as they ate, they gazed over her kingdom and her people. And the queen pointed to something in the distance and said, "Oh, look at that, that's so beautiful." And as she did, a drop of honey fell from her rice cake and landed on the balcony railing. Her advisor says, "My queen, you have spilled a drop of honey. Shall I call a servant to come and clean it up?" But the queen laughed. "That's not my problem. Someone will clean it later." They went on eating and talking, and as the drop of honey warmed in the sun, it began sliding down the railing until it plopped on the road down below. The advisor said, "My queen, the honey is now on the road. Should we get somebody to clean it up?" But the queen, "Not my problem. What's a few flies and a drop of honey gonna do? Somebody else will deal with it." Soon a lizard came out and started catching the flies that were looking at the honey. Gotta keep the order. And a cat sprang up to attack the lizard. And a dog came out to attack the cat. And the advisor said, "Your Highness, now there's a lizard and a cat and flies and a dog and they're all starting to fight together. Should we talk to somebody about maybe breaking it up?" "No, not my problem. It's a silly animal fight anyway. Someone will surely see to it." Well, the baker saw to it because it was the baker's cat. And the baker's cat was getting attacked by the dog, so the baker came out and started to hit the dog, and then the butcher realized that his dog was being hit by the baker, and so the butcher and the baker started fighting, and so then the soldiers came out to protect what was going on. And the soldiers, some of them liked the baker and some of them liked the butcher, so they started ganging up against each other and they started fighting. "Queen, there is a civil riot happening. Shouldn't we do something about it?" "Oh, it's not my problem. My captain will see to it." Well, then anger got even more and torches were being lit and thrown on buildings, and all of a sudden the kingdom's up in fire. The queen and her advisor are escorted out of the danger zone, and she looks back and her entire kingdom is in ashes. As the queen was walking around assessing the damages, she came upon a drop of honey. She goes, "Maybe I should have cleaned that drop of honey up." And that was the last day the queen ever said, "It's not my problem." It's important for us to look how we do this work now, because as we continue to grow, as we make decisions about our future and put those decisions into action, we're going to break covenant. Say it with me. We are going to break covenant. And we'll have the choice to claim it's not my problem, or we can find ways to take ownership and journey together. May we each find the wisdom to do the work of recognizing when we have done harm, reflecting on our own part, and re-engaging the relationships where covenant has been broken. Amen. We have a video